The sea breeze ruffled his thick black hair. Other passengers strolling along the deck, especially the ladies, turned to look at him as they passed. He was a very handsome man, tall and lean. His strong features were dark from his 10 years in India. He had been an officer there with the 9th Regiment of Foot. Now he was sailing home to England. The ladies longed to chat with him, but they had learned that the Earl liked to keep himself to himself. He had spoken to hardly anyone during their entire voyage, taking his meals in his cabin, and only venturing on deck when there were few other passengers about. Only his valet had been allowed to attend him. "They say, Georgina, that we shall see the coast of England at any moment," said one of the ladies, ruefully eyeing the Earl's handsome figure as he sauntered by. "That may be, Letitia," replied her friend, "but let us hope the weather holds. I do not like the look of those dark clouds." Letitia lingered a moment and then turned back to the Earl. She was feeling a little more intrepid than usual today. "Do you think, sir, there will be a storm before we reach England?" she asked. The Earl did not even turn. He disliked the artificial tone of her voice. He had known so many ladies like her in India, officers' wives, whose chief source of entertainment was gossip. "I am not an oracle, madam," he said stiffly, "but the swell is certainly getting stronger." "Well," said Letitia. She flounced off back to her companion. "Let us go to the other deck and find some congenial company." The Earl's lips tightened wryly, but he kept his face turned towards the sea. The ship was beginning to pitch more steeply. Waves smacked loudly against the bows. He wondered if there would indeed be a storm before they reached England. He leaned over the handrail and sighed. His arrival in England would be a lonely one. His parents had died when he was a boy. They had been on a grand tour of Europe and had reached Naples when a typhoid epidemic broke out. They had succumbed to the disease within days of each other. Even as a boy, Hugo had known that neither would have wanted to go on living without the other. Hugo and his elder brother Crispian were at that time staying with their widowed grandfather, the old Earl, at Castle Reuven. Crispian was now heir to the title. The two boys, once they had recovered from the loss of their parents, enjoyed a happy childhood. Their grandfather was gruff, but kind and indulgent. The boys slept in the nursery with their nanny Sarah. She would scold them mercilessly, but they knew how to twist her round their little fingers. The brothers had no other playmates but each other, and consequently they were very close. They played hide-and-seek all over the castle and roamed the surrounding woods in the summer. Although he was younger, Hugo was always the leader. Crispian was timid and introvert. It was Hugo who made him climb trees, swim in the swift flowing river, explore the local caves. When they were sent away to school, Hugo often had to protect the shy Crispian from bullies. As the younger brother, Hugo needed a career. When the time came, his grandfather suggested the army. Hugo was happy with this idea. He was interested in travel, seeing the far-flung places of the world. So he became an officer with the 9th Regiment of Foot, and at 20 years of age, set off for India. It was the last time he saw his brother. The Earl felt the ship rise steeply beneath him and then plummet into the waves. Spray lashed his face. There was a voice at his elbow. It was one of the crew. "Beg pardon, my lord. The captain says you might think of coming below. Them clouds are nearly on us, and the wind is getting up something fierce." The Earl nodded. "Thank you. I will follow you down in a moment." The crewman left. The Earl steadied himself on the rail and listened to the wind whistling through the masthead. The mournful sound seemed to echo his thoughts. Why, when war broke out in the Crimea, had his usually timid brother insisted on doing his duty and joining the army? The old Earl was terribly reluctant to let his elder grandson go, but Crispian, for once, was very determined. In the end, to his eternal regret, the old Earl agreed. In January 1856...